In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Please be seated. It's Good Friday. And on this day, 2,000 years ago, an innocent man was executed by the state with the full support of the religious institution and the general populace. We've heard the story told to us just now. And it's at a point like this, I'm left to wonder, is there anything to say? Yeah, we know how it ends. We know what happens Easter morning. But that's not now. We're here in this moment as an innocent man is murdered. It's difficult to fully come to grips with the moment, with the thing itself, right? But I invite you to see, to look, to gaze upon the one whom they have pierced, the one who we have pierced. And on my own part, I have to offer a poetic meditation on this moment, on this space and time. And I hope that what it does is it draws us all to consider the weight of sin, the weight of our rebellion, and the depths of God's love for his creation. Like a captured banner draping in the breeze, so he, flanked by two martyrs or thieves, is held aloft to be seen by all. The triple-tongued, roughshod plaque above announcing his victory, Jesus of Nazareth, Israel's king. And he is poured out for the world. His body stripped bare and stretched hard on a tree, arms spread as they were in the garden, cup pressed to his lips, lips pressed to his cheek, a hand changing silver for iron. And in midst of the blind, the sighted ones spake, "Who is it that you seek?" Knowing well, "I am he." So with violence red blade and an unseeing eye, Simon Peter took flight in a crumbling quandary of why? Why give yourself over to death, and why be poured out for the world? This wrist-bound rabbi was the strident Messiah, consecrated Christ to crack the Gentile shacklings by holy arm of God, to vindicate the remnant by rending bare the hypocrites, establishing Mount Zion, true Jerusalem restored, but no more. The heir of David, now no more than Joseph's son, the wandering day laborer and Nazarene tecton, itinerant Tanakh teacher, now so willingly led along by those who will tear him asunder. Why give yourself over to death? Why be poured out for the world? They cast lots for his clothing. The only things he owns divided to soldiers by toss of pig bone on bloody ground, the dome of the skull. And he is poured out for the world. For beneath another tree, in a garden far removed, a man and woman sought to clothe their nakedness, their shame imbued by parting of strange fruit from stem, reptilian sneer for their lament, broken images of love adrift, their maker's mercy not permitting them to taste the tree of life. A flaming blade proclaimed the weight upon them, a covering on nations laid. Decay and fade and break until the grave is fully paid. An endless veil from first to last, the The tombstone's pallid gleam now cast on every face. The seamless tunic of the Jews' king bundled at the base of his own twisted tree of life from which he hangs. A curtain between God and his creation. No life anymore. And he has poured out for the world. His bloodburst eyes sight huddling, straggled mass gathered below. The only few with strength of will to match their stricken woe, his widowed mother's face meets gaze with his and wonders at the God who gave her this load to bear Emmanuel to such a cruel, demented world. Like Abraham with his own son made fearful, trembling climb to offer back to Elohim his precious covenanted prize, yet claiming God will provide for his own self, the lamb. And still the wood was splayed, boy bound, knife raised to drive, but wait! The claim is laid aside through desperate faith. The angel of the Lord provides the ram. Moriah's peak made red, the promise stands. Behold the man, as he beholds the one who bore him, not to be another Isaac, but to be himself the lamb. Damnatio ad bestias, a beast by beasts condemned. But even as God's hand lays waste, he gives to unknown ends. Woman, he croaks through drowning lungs, behold this man, your son. And to her son, the one he loves, he chokes, behold your mother. And so their witness is unfurled, and he is poured out for the world. As minutes drip to hours filled, so liquid sip constricts his searing breath. And now it nears, the instant of fulfillment. The scores of passing sandals swirl the skull top's dust of death, strength sapped in desiccating draw. So this God-forsaken naked wretch's tongue sticks to his jaw. I thirst. His mutter met by stick affixed with sour sponge. A porous goblet filled to brim with pungent spice of love, and now he drinks. The lamb is slain, the doorpost painted in its blood. The serpent crushed, its wicked fangs sunk deep in heel of woman's son. True image bearer by obedience renews the human sum. And God made flesh drains his own wrath down to the dregs of foaming cup. And finally, in silence, it is finished. The temple hem is rent in full, and he is poured out for the world. The time of rest is drawing near, and these half corpses cannot remain, their curse pervading the sweet fragrance of a high and holy day. So they must break the legs of these slow passing rebels and away with their cadavers. But the pretender king is dead. A Roman pike thrust up to check his vital pulse is drawn back, red, and forth he pours. The wine he tasted at the Seder, the bread he tore and passed about, he is full broken, like a jug of water dropped and spilling out onto the floor. No way to gather it back in but mourn the passing of all flesh. Yet the Lord's will is for life, to bring the banished ones back home. And as the open ribcage offers blood and water, death is quenched. This lifted mystery now drawing all humanity to revere. A bronze snake held high in the waist. They look on him whom they have pierced. And he is poured out for the world.